Good morning, church. Hey. I love that good music. Don't you love that? Yeah, that song's a great song. If you saw the sign, you know what my topic is. The amazing Church of Grace. You know, the Christian Church of the Living God has had a lot of bad press lately. We've been blamed for the rise of religious bigotry and the molestation of children and even the decline of the Western civilization. We've been slurred and slandered, and even so, the church is evidently popular. Faith communities are growing in number and diversity, and in America, buildings that advertise God are as common as saloons and convenience stores. The word church is strictly a New Testament word. Its literal meaning is a calling out, particularly as it relates to a popular meeting or a gathering. The first recorded instance of the word church in Scripture is in Matthew 16, where Jesus says to an apostle, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The last use is in the last book of Revelation, chapter 22, where Jesus says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." And there's a rather enigmatic verse about Moses in Acts 7, where it says, "This is he who is in the church in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us." Church is noted in singular and plural form at least 116 times in the New Testament. It stands unique and separate from synagogue, temple, and other places of religious gatherings. In the beginning, the church gathered together in a particular home in a city as the one and only assembly found therein. There wasn't 50 million churches in a city. It was just one in the very beginning. But as the sundry beliefs hardened and the ideas of heresy kept in and those kept moving toward more and more delusion, the structure weakened, and finally the die was cast when the so-called clergy and laity became separate species. And today, most often, church people are identified by the title of the doctrine inscribed on the sign. Baptists or Methodist Presbyters or Catholangles. Since the new pope is from Germany and he's the herdsman of the Catholic sheep, does that make him a German shepherd? I worked hard at that. You know, it's absurd when you see all those things out there. And it's a shame to all believers that any ism can so readily offer an alternative to the sound doctrine of dispensational understanding, much less church of another gospel. You know, in days gone by, I was once a sort of a secular and Christian activist. I joined crusades as diverse as the pro-life movement to the current Save a Critter, whatever that was. And in fact, years ago, I was even a member of the ACLU. Now, don't hold that against me. I mean, I joined these things, and I attended the meetings of these churches, because that's what they were. They were specified events that were heralded and advertised, and as the cause demanded, the fervor of the assembly was inflamed as well as the protest. But when the agenda of these churches was done, we went home or to the next stage requiring our action. You know, Saul, that belligerent and rising star of the Pharisaic sect of Judaism, was compelled to a horrific kind of crusade. He would seek out all of those who followed the way of the Nazarene and put an abrupt end to this new religion. And with this intense mindset and this brutal vigor, he laid waste to the early believers, attacking them in their own home gatherings. And then when he was converted, he took the name of Paul, and he looked back and he said this in Corinthians, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." It wasn't the buildings that he persecuted. Understand this. Christian church is not an agenda, an occasion, an ideal, or a guiding light, or an agent. It is not a mission statement or a topic. Though many get it confused with a building with the cross or stained glass windows, where old foggies like me preach this long-winded sermon and little kids go to Sunday school, it's not any of that. It's a holy organism that divides and defies static definition. In fact, St. Paul gives the church a feminine persona. He says this, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." And Paul wraps up that same chapter in Ephesians with a marriage between her and the Lord Jesus, stating, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now that's a vibrant metaphor capturing the worldwide assemblies of faith in a soon-to-come mystical union with Christ. This concept is only taught in Paul's writings, and it's only found in his epistles, and it bears deep scrutiny. One must understand this vital reality. I'm going to say this. Only in this age of grace insists that church is the body of Christ. Paul proclaims, "I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." Now listen carefully. It is Paul who is our minister. It's Paul. And none other. It is his gospel that offers the good news to the unsaved and the saved, and none other. Only his writings propel the wisdom of God for this time and this season in this universe today, and none other. All believers at the point of their salvation are invested in church, the body of Christ, which is a living thing, dynamic and freestanding, and authentic, though I will tell you it's subject to the vagaries of its membership. That's true. Church is not a perfect institution because its members are certainly not perfect. You know, Bobby Fischer, Bobby Fischer was 16 when he dropped out of school, wrote a best-selling book of a certain game, and became eventually the world champion of chess. He was also eccentric, anti-Semitic, and became finally anti-American. While in exile from the United States, accused of some serious crimes, in late October of 2021, he wrote this to a notorious terrorist. Listen to this. "Dear Osama bin Laden, allow me to introduce myself. I am Bobby Fischer, the world chess champion. First of all, you should know that I share your hatred of the murderous bandit state of Israel and its chief backer, the Jew-controlled USA, also known as the United States or Israel West. We also have something in common. We're both fugitives of the U.S. justice system." Of course, Bobby Fischer's dead now. But because of him, millions and millions of kids joined the Church of Chess and with joy entered into the tournaments. He took the good news of chess to the apex of popularity, and then with another kind of personalized gospel, he practically ruined the game forever. That's sad. You know, Jesus takes his church seriously and personally, but it's no game to Christ. Millions of people join the church every day, but most of them will not get the understanding. And our Lord despises the manner in which his body is so easily perverted by unsound theology, dirt intelligence, and the allures of status and wealth. You have to understand, the church is both a habitation and inhabitants, where all manner of celestials congregate with mortals. It's just not a place of boring words and arcane instructions and great music. In this audience, right now, this very morning, the morning star and heaven's dignitaries are present. Right in this place. Now chew on that for just a minute. You thought you were coming to a building. You know, how many people would clamor to meet their favorite movie star or wait in line for hours to listen to the best rap singer, or get a signature from a notable author or a sports figure? Yet we would by droves forsake church where God and his people abide. How many of us would support sports and academics and restaurants with time, energy, and money, yet put nothing or little in the offering plate where the food of God is served and the most important things of life and eternity are weighed out as more precious than smarts or fame or bank accounts? Listen, you think you're going to a building. You're not going to a building, people. You're going to a mighty fortress. Now, here's St. Paul speaking to Bishop Timothy. These things I write to you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We should be in awe of the church, reverent within its holy content and stunned by its overwhelming beauty. Most of us got up this morning, looked in the mirror and said, "Gag me." I did. I come to church and I think, "Glory! Here is beauty." The body of Christ is not a building. Neither is it the church in the wilderness bound by the law of Moses, a rankle under the skin of Jehovah. The body of Christ is neither Peter of the kingdom church, awaiting the second coming, fearing for their salvation. The body of Christ is not of the revelation, whose churches are to be sifted and valued by their good works. And though Jesus would marry this glorious church, we are not his bride, who is the celestial city of Jerusalem. Nevertheless, insult this church, which is his body, being readied for his marriage, and offend him if you dare. Most of us would not let our loved ones be insulted. Most of us would not insult our loved ones. I may offend by this statement, but this is also the truth. Only the ground of the local church that closest maintains the gospel according to Pauline truth is the true representation of his body. Let me say that again. Only the ground of the local church that preaches and teaches the truth of Pauline theology is the true representation of his church. Now, I can say that, but let me back it up again to St. Timothy. From Paul, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world, had been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavens might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You see, the wisdom of God is by the ways and means of teaching the message of pure grace and nothing else. You add or you subtract from the glorious truth of the Word of God of grace, and you are preaching and teaching in fundamental error. And the church stands to correct. In January of this year, of 2011, a class action lawsuit was filed against Taco Bell's meat mixture containing less than 35% of beef. You know, the suit wasn't seeking monetary damages, just that Taco Bell stopped calling its concoction beef. Believe me, if Carla Pella, remember her, was alive today, she'd be snickering and hollering out, "Where's the beef?" Taco Bell is still operating, and the people are still buying the filler. I love that lady. Taco Bell's loss of sales was momentary at best. I want you to know, sometimes I think church is a 35% meat fest. Isn't that hard to say? Take you. Here's my beef. The church of the living God is not an avenue to rant, discriminate, or molest. It is the amazing church of grace, full of power and profound wisdom. This church is His body, being many, with singular members and His fullness. This body has supremacy to act in harmony, nourish itself with the truth of grace, defend itself against the world, and offer sound apology against those who would devalue, define itself against the world, offering salvation, reconciliation, and the eternal security of the believer. We are to sustain on the pure meat, and we're never supposed to be satisfied with a drive-by and resolved to just eat the little stuff. But instead, we are to find the elegancy in our meal and that which is provided by the most generous host ever. That's what church is supposed to offer. One Lord, one God, one church. You know, church is empowered people. Empowered to heal the soul sickness of this world. We are to be energized to discern evil and eradicate its dominion. We are a force to be reckoned with. We are not candy. We are not Pablo. We are not to bring ease and comfort. We're not supposed to make it so everybody can just assume a pew. We are the church and His true image. Now, the author of Hebrews says this, leaving us with this final wisdom. Let us not give up our meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We are giving a final resting place as the church of the living God, to know that there will be a time very shortly and soon when we will stand and offer the true and vital witness. Will we do that? Are we settling for Babticostalism or something in between the lines? Let's pray while the music team comes up. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing Church of Grace, a vital organism that we are in part of, members thereof. Give us the strength and the dignity to carry a part and be a part and fellowship together, one with another, in harmony of the truth of the gospel of grace. Amen.